Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with a new temple as we pick up in Ezekiel chapter 40, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
We want to get into the study of Ezekiel tonight, and right off the top, I would like to confess to you that of all of the Bible and the passages in the Bible, I understand this the least. I do not pretend to have a full and complete understanding of Ezekiel chapters 40 through 48. In fact, I have greater difficulty with these passages than I do any other section of the Bible. And because I do lack, personally, in an understanding of this section, I do find it extremely difficult to minister from this particular section of the Scriptures. I can't wait till I get back and get into the book of Daniel. And when we return, we'll take your next assignment will be Daniel, the first six chapters. And I can hardly wait to get into Daniel because that I understand. Now, Ezekiel, up to this point, I feel a pretty good grasp and understanding of it. But beginning tonight with chapter 40 and going through the end, I get lost. I don't understand it completely. And to help in understanding, because he is describing the new temple that is to be built. Now, from the description of this temple, it will be a temple that will be built during the kingdom age after the return of Jesus Christ. This will not be the temple that will be rebuilt in the very near future under the decree that is made by the Antichrist, but this is yet future. Now, we've passed out diagrams for you by which we have sought to more or less draw a diagram for you of this new temple that it is to be built. Notice that basically it is square, and the outer walls of this temple are 500 cubits long and 500 cubits broad. Now, this is the building itself. Outside of this, there is the wall that is 500 reeds. Now, to help you understand, we get into cubits, reeds, and we're into types of measurements that are not familiar with us. According to the definition, the cubit here is a cubit plus a span, the cubit that he measured with, which would be the cubit is the length from your elbow to your fingertips, and the span, of course, is from your thumb to your fingertip. So the length from your elbow to your fingertip, about 18 inches, plus the span, gives you about 24 inches. So you're dealing with cubits of 24 inches. Now, as you look at this diagram again, you notice this outer wall of the building would then be about 1,000 feet, 500 cubits, which would make it about 1,000 feet, which means that that is a fairly good-sized building comprising 100,000 square feet within the perimeters of the building. So then you notice this inner court. That inner court is 100 cubits square, which would mean about 200 feet square. So again, you begin to get the size of this building. It is quite large indeed. An inner court, 200 feet. This building from wall to wall is about 180 feet. So you add another 20 feet and the same distance back, and you have the inner court here, which is about a 200-foot square. So that helps you then to get the overall idea of the overall size of the building. It is quite a large building, the new temple that will be built. Plus the wall that goes around it at 500 reeds. A reed is five of these cubits, which would be 10 feet in length. So the wall around the whole thing would be almost a mile square. Now, at the present time in Jerusalem, there is no area where this could be built, especially on the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount that was vastly enlarged by King Herod is nowhere near a mile square. In fact, the whole old city of Jerusalem is just about a mile square. So when Jesus returns, and prior to the return of Jesus Christ, there are to be many cataclysmic events. The book of Revelation, for instance, describes a tremendous earthquake that is going to jolt Jerusalem, so that a tenth part of the city will be destroyed. This plus the other cataclysmic events that are described in the book of Revelation, the present situation of Jerusalem with the earthquake, and of course when Christ returns, there will be a great cataclysmic event in that the Mount of Olives will be splitting in the middle, and a new valley will be formed. And no doubt with the new valley that is formed and this great shaking of the earth, a new mountain will be shoved up. And this mountain will be called Mount Zion, and it will be very high in the sight of all of the earth, according to the prophecies that are in Isaiah and in Jeremiah. So that the new temple will be built then upon this new Mount Zion. And thus, the large area that is devoted for the temple. But you see the diagram here of the buildings themselves. And thus, as you go through Ezekiel, beginning with chapter 40, as Ezekiel is taken by the Spirit and is shown this new temple of God, it's in the 20th year of our captivity, which would have been the year 572 BC, in the beginning of the year, which would have been April, the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after the city was smitten, in the selfsame day, the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me thither. In the visions of God, he brought me into the land of Israel. He set me up on a very high mountain, by which was the frame of the city on the south. So there is a very new high mountain that rises up there in Israel, in the area of Jerusalem. And he brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, with a line of flax in his hand, and with a measuring reed, he stood in the gate. And the man said unto me, Son of man, behold with your eyes, and hear with your ears, and set your heart upon all that I will show you, for to the intent that I might show them unto thee, you have been brought here. So he meets the man who introduces himself and says, now, you know, pay careful attention to all these things I'm showing you, because for this purpose you've been brought here. And then declare all that you see to the house of Israel. So in these passages, we are dealing in the kingdom age, and with the house of Israel, we are not dealing with the church. And really, this temple that is to be built and its worship is not related to the church, but it is related to Israel in the kingdom age. And so it is to be related to the house of Israel. Now, behold, there was a wall on the outside of the house round about. In the man's hand, a measuring reed of 6 cubits long. The cubit is about 18 inches, 10 feet. By the cubit and a hand breadth, they're about 12 feet. He measured the breadth of the building, one reed, and the height, one reed. Then he came to the gate which looked toward the east. Now you notice on the bottom of your diagram, we've drawn here the gate towards the east. We've only drawn 3 steps. There are 7 steps leading up into that gate, and the gate itself becomes a corridor because on either side you have these rooms that go along, and then the area known as the pavement, sort of a arched porched area that is in the pavement there, and it describes the porch and the arches and the various carvings of the cherubim that are upon these arches and on these posts. Now, I'm not going to try to go through and follow this all with you. It gets very laborious. And therefore, I'm going to allow you that opportunity, if you so desire, to get the thing in your mind, to take the diagram that we have prepared for you, and as best you can, follow it through, read it out, and see if you can more or less figure this whole thing out. You have the inner court in verse 27 toward the south. Now, you'll notice that there are gates that come in on three sides, both into the outer court area here, and then in three more gates corresponding with the outer gates into the inner court area. Those steps coming into the outer court area are seven steps upward. Coming into the inner court, there are eight steps. So you are coming from a lower plane, rising to a higher plane, and then the temple house is yet on a higher level, so the whole thing is ascending up. But you have the three gates, no gate to the west, but there are gates to the east, to the north, and to the south, but none coming from the west. And so you come in through these gates into the outer chamber, and then up through the steps into the inner court. Now, only a certain group were allowed on into the inner court, those that were making the sacrifices themselves. You find the altar of burnt offering in the middle of the inner court, and then on the west side, you find the temple house itself and the holy place within the temple house, the holy place being 20 by 20, or about a 40-foot cube area. Now, as you go into these measurements, you'll find that they are, many of them, in multiples of 12, which I'm sure has some significance. But just what the significance is, I cannot tell you for sure, because I don't know. There's a lot of things that people can read into things. I would rather not read things into it, but just read it as it is, and that which I understand, tell you. That which I don't understand, just let you know that I don't understand it, what its significance or whatever. But I've noticed in going through many multiples of 12. So in chapter 41, he continues to describe the temple and the post and all. And he measured, in verse 4, you get into the temple house itself and to the holy place, which was 20 cubits before the temple. This is the most holy place. The temple house itself is 20 cubits by 40 cubits, which would be about 40 by 80 feet, which is a fairly good size room in itself. And he describes in verses 18 and 19 the cherubims that are carved upon the various, and the palm trees and all, on the doors of the inner house and upon the walls, and all of these carvings of the cherubim and palms. And the temple and the sanctuary had two doors, verse 23, and the doors had two leaves apiece, turning leaves. In other words, the double doors, much like we have coming in here, and the doors opened as these doors do. Then he brought me into the utter court, chapter 42, to the north, and he brought me into the chamber that was against the separate place. And as I say, I'm going to leave you with this. You may take this diagram home. And the separate place is that area, you'll notice, that surrounds the temple house itself. And he begins to describe for him here this separate place that was about the temple house. Verse 13 there, where the priests that approach the Lord shall eat the most holy things. So you see this little chamber for the priest, and there are four of them off of this separate place where the priest eat before the Lord of the portion of the sacrifices that are brought. And they shall lay the most holy things, the meal offerings, the sin offerings, the trespass offerings, for the place is holy. And when the priests enter therein, then shall they not go out of the holy place into the outer court, but they shall lay their garments wherein they minister, for they are holy. They shall put on other garments and shall approach those things which are for the people. So there are special robes for the priest when they're in this place, and they're not to be worn outside. Now, in chapter 43, he brought him then to the gate that looks towards the east. This is at the bottom of your diagram. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like the noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. Here you have the return of the glory of God to Israel. Now, earlier, Ezekiel saw in a vision the glory of God leaving the temple. And gradually, as it left the temple, it settled at the gate towards the east, and then it ascended, and God's glory was removed from Israel. Here we find the glory of God returning to Israel. And again, even as the glory of God departed by the gate to the east, so the glory of God returns by the gate to the east. And his voice was like the noise of many waters. In Revelation chapter 1, as John is describing Jesus Christ in his glory, he does declare that his voice was like the noise of many waters. I would assume that this reference here in Ezekiel is a reference to the return of Jesus Christ in glory. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming with clouds and great glory. And he shall set his foot in that day on the Mount of Olives, and it shall split in the middle, and a new valley will be formed from east to west when the Mount of Olives is split in the middle. Now, according to other passages of Scripture, when Christ returns, you remember when he ascended, he went with his disciples to the Mount of Olives, and when they had gone as far as Bethany, which is just over the top of the Mount of Olives, Jesus ascended up into heaven, and the disciples were standing there gazing up into heaven as they watched the cloud catch him out of their sight. And two men stood by them in shining apparel and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into heaven? For this same Jesus shall come again in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." And so the coming of Jesus Christ, as he went in glory up into heaven, he'll come again, setting his foot on the Mount of Olives. A great cataclysmic event takes place as the Mount of Olives splits, no doubt creating what we will get to later, this new stream that will issue from the eastern part here, down on the bottom part of your page, the new stream that will issue from the temple of God, which will flow down to the Dead Sea, and we'll get to that after a while. But a part of this is all a part of this great geological structural change that will take place when the Mount of Olives splits and when the city is shaken, and the preparation for the return of Jesus Christ, the establishing of his kingdom. And the earth shined with the glory as Christ returns there in verse 2. Now, as he returns, surrounded, of course, with the angelic beings, the cherubim, the Bible speaks about his coming with the angels. It also speaks about his coming with the church, coming with clouds and great glory. Clouds symbolically are numbers of people, throngs of people. Paul said, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming with the angels to judge the earth." And so the saints that came with him, Revelation 19. So Christ coming with a heavenly multitude to establish God's kingdom upon the earth. "And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house, and I heard him speaking unto me out of the house, and a man stood by me. And he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, and my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor their kings by their whoredom, nor by the carcasses of their kings in the high places, in their setting of their threshold on by my thresholds, and their posts by my posts and walls, and so forth. My holy name they will not defile anymore by their abominations which they've committed. Now let them put away their whoredom and the carcasses of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in the midst of them forever. And so the declaration of God's coming, the coming of the kingdom, to dwell in the midst of the people. So Ezekiel is commanded to show these things to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern and all.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Ezekiel on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Ezekiel 40 through 43 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord bless and keep you through the week, and may you live after the Spirit, walk after the Spirit, follow after the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Therefore, let a man examine himself, for if we will judge ourselves, then we will not be judged of God. You need to walk after the Spirit, and may God guide and help you. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
God is looking for someone that he can use to accomplish his purposes on this earth. The apostles were more than willing to be used by the Lord. So what was it that gave them the certain spiritual characteristics necessary to be used by God and to be a powerful, godly influence to change the world? Well, in a book entitled The Man God Uses, Pastor Chuck Smith brings the scriptures to life as he examines the book of Acts. He reveals the secret to the apostles' boldness, the five essential components of prayer, and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. So if you've ever wanted to accomplish more for the kingdom of God and to be an instrument that he can use, then I encourage you to pick up a copy of Pastor Chuck's book, The Man God Uses. To order a copy of this book in print or download a digital copy, please visit thewordfortoday.org or call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673.